Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to another episode of Your Health is Your Wealth. I'm going to try to do it like Kimberly Salas says. She says, good Friday, good Friday, good Friday. So we hope that you're having a wonderful day. This is Dr. Nate Dunlap. I know I'm not Kimberly Salas. I know my voice is a whole lot deeper than hers, and it's not what you expected today. But we're going to go ahead and push forward. She was not able to make it to our show today, but we're filling in because that's what we do here at PRF. And so if you were with us on the first Friday of the month, we had a wonderful guest with us. She really just took everything by storm. She is back with us, so we are just in for a good treat today. Her name is none other than Jashawn Franklin. We call her the fitness enthusiast. That was a terminology that I heard. So we just want to welcome you once again to the show and say thank you for accepting another invitation. You know, these shows are not good when we're sitting up here talking by ourselves. So
Thank you again. It was fantastic the first time, and it's always a pleasure to be back and just have a great conversation, good dialogue, and get some good information out to people.
So listen, well, thank you. So this monthly series, which ends today, is called Your Health is Your Wealth. That's the show, and we're focusing specifically on how your health affects your wealth. So we took a little page from Ms. Franklin, y'all, for those who were not with us last month, and she was like, listen, we're not going to come up in here beating up on folk, talking about why folk are in the situation that they're in. And so it kind of made me step back a little bit, because oftentimes what we do is we see the results of what people fail to do, right, wrong, or indifferent. If somebody fails to do something, there's always an action, a reaction to every action. There's a consequence to everything that we do. And so we get to see oftentimes the negative. And so that's what we tend to talk about, right, wrong, or indifferent. We're like, listen, if you don't do this, and we don't want to be legalistic with individuals. We don't want folks just hearing all about the bad. We want to talk about the good. So I thank her. I thank you for just reeling us back in last week, because, again, there's so many things that we can talk about why things are happening the way that they're happening, and we want folks to realize that if we just take a little bit of precaution.
That's a good one.
Yeah, let's take a little bit of precaution and we can go in a whole different direction. So that's where we're going to go today. Give us what your take is on what's the benefits of taking those, what we call in the military, preventive maintenance. Yeah. Preventive maintenance. So how does that affect the overall health and as well as the wealth piece? When we just take into consideration, let's do what we need to do right now so that we'll be better off later on in the future.
Exactly. That is an excellent point, because as we hit on it a little bit in our other broadcast, that the earlier you begin these habits, and this is even from parenting stage to children, if you teach good habits, you know, just like you teach brush your teeth in the morning and before you go to bed, you know, you should teach and encourage physical activity, because the sooner that it begins and it becomes a habit, better so than I'm not motivated and I don't want to, because no one is motivated every day.
No, I'm not. It takes a little time sometimes to get out the bed.
Right. But you do it, and that's another good example. You get up in the morning because that's what you do every morning.
Right.
It's a habit.
Right.
You know, if you get to sleep in, that's great. But it's a habit. You're not enthusiastic. You don't always want to get up. You don't always get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. But because it's a daily habit, you still get up and do it.
Right.
So in that aspect, once you program it, so to speak, into your daily life, mm-hmm. you'll start reaping the benefits a lot sooner than you realize. And also in the long run, you'll be able to look back and say, I started this when I was 10.
Okay.
Or 15. I ran track in high school, and from that point, I just kept running. I just kept jogging, and it became a habit.
As far as go, just kept running.
Just kept running. Just kept running. So it became a habit because of a small thing you started so long ago.
Okay.
And now you are 30, 40, 50 years old, and mm-hmm. you're still spry, as they say. You
right.
still have that flexibility. You still have, you know, things like that that someone else who did not pick up that habit or any habit along that line is having more difficulty moving around. You know, their mobility isn't as great as they'd like for it to be. They have more doctor visits to go to,
mm.
you know, than say you do. And not necessarily because of the activity or the type of activity, but just because there is some activity on a regular basis.
So you mentioned something that leads me to this question.
Okay.
What about when it's not a habit because it's something that never was done? It wasn't done. Nobody told me to make sure that I exercise every day. My mother went to work. She worked 200 jobs. My dad didn't grow up with my dad. It's not my story, but didn't grow up with my father. So mama just, that wasn't the number one thing in the household. Not saying that was a bad thing, but So where do we learn these things? Because I think a lot of times people don't do certain things. It's because it was never introduced to them in a consistent way, right? So how do we help encourage folks beyond just encouraging them, but like getting them to that place of this is what you really need to do? Because some folks don't want to hear it. Some folks want the nice version. I'm the guy that will call me to be accountable. Like, Donald, I know you're going to tell me the truth. Somebody call me. Who used to be in a supervisory capacity over me in one of my career fields. And I was like, oh, yeah, because Dunlap, you always want to tell me the truth. You're going to tell me, no, you need to get this dude out my house, right? You know, she knows to get this dude out of her house. It ain't a good living lifestyle, right, a healthy lifestyle. But she know I'm going to be the one that's not going to just sit there and listen to her and talk about, oh, I'm not being blessed. Like, get that joke up out your house because he's blocking your blessing, right? Everybody's not going to be like Dunlap. So, but we have to find a way for those who don't have somebody with them, wasn't in the household with them, it wasn't something like your children. Your children see you exercising, or, you know, they know mommy's exercising. They know it. They know mommy's not eating cheeseburgers 3 or 4 days a week and french fries because they don't see mommy eating it. So I believe there's a teaching that's going on. Even if it's not intentional, it's just this is your lifestyle. So we got to help folk that don't have that, that is just a new thing for them, a new phenomenon. And it goes against the grain. It goes against, I mean, growing up in Philly, we eat cheesesteaks all the time. And I had a partner with one of my best friends growing up. Every day, cheeseburger, pizza, french fries, all the fried stuff is what he ate. And he played. He was our quarterback in high school. He was our point guard on the basketball team. He was the doggone, he did something else. He was a star athlete. And I'm like, all that stuff that he used to eat, it never affected him because he exercised. Okay?
The majority of people, and I know people say this all the time, your metabolism is outstanding.
Okay.
You know, because if you really think about it, even when you don't live the healthiest lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
just making sure, not even from the physical aspect, but when we're talking about health in general,
okay.
overall health, you may not always eat the healthiest,
mm-hmm.
but if you have movement in your life, if you have a positive mindset, you
right.
know, if overall you are trying to do the right thing, you're on the right path. I think a lot of times people forget that if you don't eat 4 meals a day with 2 snacks in between, and you have this percentage of body fat, and you know you drink 2 gallons of water, then you're not healthy.
Right.
Because that is what you see, you know, out there right now.
Right.
Or
right.
this diet I eat with the dinosaur ate. You know, it goes from both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So to go back to your original question of for people who don't have Dunlaps in their life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Or just not.
take them where they are. And like you said, if you know that that person will not be as receptive as someone else,
mm-hmm.
find a way around that.
Mm.
If that person likes cheeseburgers so much, instead of us driving 2 blocks to get a cheeseburger, how about walk?
You're going
to
walk.
We'll walk. We'll walk this time.
Then you're like, whoo, I need some water by the time I get there.
Exactly. So, psychologically, you're working on that. Yes, it is slight manipulation. I will completely admit that. But the overall outcome of what you're trying to achieve, not just for yourself, but for that other person, because you have a genuine interest in them. And I think a lot of times we forget to add that on.
Okay.
I am genuinely interested. I genuinely care about you. It's not just all about me. I don't just want to put my name on this and say, my company did this and we helped you do this. No, I have a genuine interest in you being your healthiest self.
Right.
And that's the bottom line.
And I'll say, I don't even look at it as manipulation, because psychology is not manipulation unless you're doing it for like some Jeffrey Dahmer type of stuff.
Exactly.
But we have to deal with people, as you said, where they are. And some people, like, it's not a stretch with your children. If somebody says, you know what, you need to exercise, they're not going to have to be truly manipulated and thinking that this is a good thing because they've seen mommy do it. But if you say, okay, if you don't go out there and exercise, you're not going to be able to be on a cheerleading team, right? So we need to do this walking once a day, and we'll go to the store, and we can get you your 2 pieces of bubble gum. You know, I'm baiting myself, I guess. It's a 2 pieces of bubble gum, and then everything is good. And they're like, man, I didn't know it. For example, our niece. I have a niece, and she is she's overweight. She has too much girth on her body. And she has that because other folks, not making this negative, but other folks have given her maybe what she wanted, what they ate, 6 grown-up plates when you need the kid's child portion, right? And so now she's larger than she needs to be. Sweet girl, all that kind of stuff. But now she's the co-captain on the cheerleading team. Well, here's what you're going to have to do. We're believing that this is going to help her with her weight, because when somebody got to throw you up in the air, you don't need to take 5 people to throw somebody up in the air. I'm talking about grown-ups or children. It needs to be like 1 person to be able to do it. So if that can't happen, then that's not going to have the positive effect that it needs to be for the team. And being in a co-captain, this is for our leaders now, being in that leadership position, even though she's only 12 years old, she's in a leadership position. So only 2 people got the leadership. You got the captain and the co-captain. You know, some folk wanted to be the captain, and some other little kids, some other girls wanted to be the co-captain. So if she doesn't do well, as she does what she's supposed to do, she never has to worry on the back end about somebody coming and actually getting a position. They'll say, well, she can't do this and she can't do that. So it's up to her. It's up to her. We have our role, but it's up to her. And I'm mentioning her because we want to make sure that these are not, and this goes into the, I guess, the little conversation about prevention as a segue. We have to start at some point. And it can't be based upon when somebody gets to a place that we talk, no, this is not preventive maintenance. This is reaction. It's nothing about we're going to do this so we can have the healthiest lifestyle possible. It's, you know, when you say stuff like, this is about, you know, you don't want to catch the sugar, as they say in the South, y'all know I'm from up north, you don't want to get the sugar, right? No, that's not the motivating thing that we should be saying to folks. This, listen, by doing this, it'll make you healthy. By doing this, I'm talking to her about the military. And it's like, okay, yeah, in the military, it'll be easier for you to get in the military if your weight is where it needs to be. You know, so how we communicate to people, I think it really matters. But I want to just focus on preventive measures, why it's important. Because, again, the show is called Your Health is Your Wealth. So we just talk about the health piece, and maybe the wealth piece will be able to be uplifted a whole lot easier if we talk about the preventive measures for the health piece. So what's your take on why do we need to be doing some things before it gets to a place where it's not?
Exactly that. Before it gets there.
Okay.
Because you will also be less receptive of it because it presents you as problem
okay.
once it's there. if you act on it before it becomes a problem,
mm-hmm.
then everything is still okay.
Okay.
So, for this example, where you were just discussing your niece, she perhaps didn't have the best examples. We had bad diet, bad nutrition, you know, things like that. But it was in her surroundings, you know, immediate surroundings. And at a particular point, when you're a child, you don't prepare your own food. You don't establish your own schedules. You don't do those things. So the prevention aspect comes into play where it's accountability as well that starts at the adult. The prevention part of it is, and I know there are quite a few programs, some government programs where, as we were discussing a little bit earlier before the broadcast, where there are incentives to stay healthy through your insurance company.
Right.
You know, so it's somewhat like a well checkup.
Yep.
You know,
wellness.
A wellness checkup.
That's
so
it.
Stay on top of your health from the very beginning. Because a lot of us, you know, as we said, are money-minded,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, you know, not so much as budgeting and things like that. But let's just be honest. In the world we're in right now, the biggest incentive for the majority of people is money.
Mm.
You know, money or popularity. That is the biggest incentive.
Mm.
And if you connect that with prevention, it is helping people understand that, okay, yes, you do get a reward or a prize. Yes, you do get this incentive. But if you start this early enough, when you go to get health insurance,
right?
You know, how many times have you seen a commercial where it is geared towards our elderly, our older population,
right.
And they have consumers who are asking about the prices? So the first thing they will say is, how much will this cost me? The second question is, do I have to take a medical exam?
Mm.
Why do you think they ask that?
Exactly. Because if I have to take a medical exam, the likelihood of me having something is going to mean that whatever I have to pay for is going to be a lot higher, especially being an older individual.
Exactly. So if that is the second question, do I have to take a medical exam, you already know that you have not been doing, as you would say, your preventive maintenance. You already know that this is going to be more expensive for you, not because of a bad habit, say, not because it may be, I'm not saying that it won't, but not because of specific lifestyle choices, smoking, drinking, things like that.
Right.
But when it comes down to basic physical fitness, your, you know, basic nutrition, those are things it sounds like I'm saying is, oh, this is super easy and you can do this all the time. I know that it's not.
Right.
I know that it's not. The physical part, just getting up and walking around, that's easy. But then if you get up and walk around and sit back down and eat 3 cheeseburgers, you defeat the purpose.
What about you?
1.5. We'll go with 1.5.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, if your question is, do I have to take a medical exam, you already know in your mind that this is important.
Mm-hmm.
This will affect my wealth in a negative way, because I will have to pay higher premiums, higher this, higher that, if I'm in poor health. Because the company, the business is looking at you as a liability.
Mm-hmm.
So if I know coming into this that more than likely, because you're in poor health, you're going to have more doctor visits, you're going to miss more time from work, things of that nature, I'm going to charge you more money,
mm-hmm.
which breaks into your paycheck, your Social Security, or whatever your income is, which again trickles so far back to starting good habits,
right.
Even if it's not in your surroundings. Finding someone to keep you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Finding someone, so many people have someone that they work out with, and it may not be physically in that person's presence. You can FaceTime someone. You FaceTime someone about a new outfit or a new car.
We do Facebook Live all the time, talking about craziness and. Yeah.
Right. So that accountability also needs to be a part of the prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like what you said about the liabilities, and it had me think about assets over liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a page and being a good student, as I am, I'm saying, well, we don't need to talk about the liabilities we just put out there. Let's talk about assets versus liabilities. And so when you put it into that perspective, you say, well, an asset is something that you own. A liability is something that you owe. So an asset can be a house. I have a house. I don't have a mortgage, and it's worth $50,000. That's an asset. The liability is I have a house, $1,000, and I still owe $195,000, and I've had it for the last 15 years. It's a liability until that $100,000 is taken off. And so we say, well, which one would you rather have? Would you rather own a house that has $50,000 in equity and you have no mortgage payment, or would you rather have that big old house that the mortgage is at 14% interest? You bought it 14 years ago, and because of the interest rate, you still owe 96% of what the loan amount. I think most people would be like, I think I want the one with some equity in it. And so I know you've heard the term sweat equity. Sweat equity for me working out is, listen, you got to put your grind into it, put your back into it, and you put that sweat equity in it. Listen, it may not be easy, but you got to work it out. And I'm convicted. Because, see, I haven't really worked out since, like, August of last year. 2017, y'all. Y'all know, if I ever get on y'all, the way that I come out with what's going on with me, you know, if you ever watch 8 Mile, the movie 8 Mile, so I'm at the end right now talking about, you know, I'm rabbit talking about himself right now. So if you ain't got nothing to say to me, but now I go like, but this is what I'm doing right now, so what you going to do? So the reason I haven't really worked out that much, you know, I walk and everything, but I started feeling a little uneasiness over the last couple of years with my shoulders. So I was reaching out one day a couple of years ago at a car wash, and I reached out the car window, and all of a sudden I felt this sharp pain in my shoulder. And I was like, ah, and it happened a couple of different times, not something every day because, you know, I don't do that same motion. Then it happened with the other shoulder. And so I was like, man, this ain't right. And I started feeling it. I go do what I do. I'm working out, you know. But then it's like now I'm starting to feel this thing a little bit more. So I went to the doctor today, right? Had my annual physical because I still do my annual physicals, y'all. I went and did my physical last week, and I was like, listen, doc, here's what's going on. Something ain't right. I got this little tingling a little bit that I feel sometimes in my arm, you know, feel like a little pain shooting down, whatever. So I went and saw the doctor today. And then they actually gave me an appointment right there for physical therapy. Like, you want to come back later? I was like, no, I took off time right now. We're going to do this today. So I had to wait around for 30 minutes. That goes back to the preventive measure.
Yes.
Because I could have left and said, I'll come back. But what's going on from the time of today until maybe a week or so? So we're sitting in there. I'm sitting with my physical therapist now. He's mine. He's mine now. I claim his brother named Samuel at St. Francis. So Dr. Samuel. And I'm in there. He's showing me these exercises with these bands. And they were not as easy as they look, because I'm a strength guy, right? And I look pretty good as far as, you know, the way I try to keep my body. But after doing these little stretchy things, after about 20, I was like, oh, he said, you feel the burn? I said, man, I felt it at 12. But here's the deal. I know for a fact that if I do what he said to do, this brother graduated. He's a doctor of physical therapy. He knows his stuff. He's going through the training, and he's being paid to do this.
Right.
I just want to believe that if he was a sorry physical therapist, he probably would be up in St. Frank. He wouldn't have the attitude to work all over the place, but I believe that he's good with what he does.
Right.
And so, you know, the talk of surgery came up, because I'm like, I ain't trying to handle organ surgery. You know, guys are healing, but God, a healer is all, but I still got to do my part. So there's nothing that I could have done to prevent this, because it came from exercising.
Mm-hmm.
It came from working out. That's the only reason why. So, again, it was not because of what I didn't do. I may not have known how to do some of those exercises the right way. You know, when you know, you're just trying to get it. You know, he's like, you know what? Yeah, so but I'm in that phase now. And I believe that this is preventive maintenance, even though it came afterwards. And I say that because a lot of people need to understand that this thing is not about everything that you did wrong.
Right.
Sometimes things happen.
Right.
And so now I'm preventive measures, because my preventive measures of doing these exercises a couple times a day in ice is going to take discipline. And I travel a lot. I don't have a bag of ice or a thing of ice I could put on my doggone shoulder like I got an office job. But I'm going to do as much as I can, but I'm going to take the doggone medicine for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to do these little stretchy exercises. I can take the little bands and put them in the door. I'm going to do it as much as I can. But for the first 2 weeks, oh, yeah, I'm going to be very consistent. And I'm Yeah. And so that's my thing, is being preventive and folks not feeling condemned because they just didn't do something or because something happened to pop up in their lifetime. So, asset versus liability. This is about me being an asset to my family, an asset to the ministry, an asset to the people that I lead through PRF. I don't need to be a liability. I don't need to be the cat that can't go and do the workshop because he don't feel well, you know. But asset and liability, good concept. Can you remember that?
I like the way you broke that down, you know, especially I think the way you broke it down is realistic.
Okay.
Because a lot of people look at it that way when you talk about prevention, when you talk about being an asset versus a liability. We don't always look at it in our everyday space.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always look at it, how do I incorporate this into my everyday life?
Right.
When you're dealing with, like you said, if you look at it from a mortgage standpoint, or a vehicle, or anything of that sort, we don't put it into our everyday situation. So, again, it doesn't start out early because we don't put it on the same level.
Right.
It's above us, or it's just out of reach. It's not something we do. We don't do this in my family, or at my school, or just in my community in general. So, we're not really going to worry about that. I know I'm an asset to my education right now because that's just what I'm doing.
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't think about it in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So starting out, again, with prevention, you know, and I am definitely a Southern girl, so I know many of you have heard that proper planning prevents poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I add a P.
Yes, right. So, you know, I took that P out, just in case. But, you know, and I believe that is true. Or some of you have heard, you know, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Mm.
You hear that a lot. However, again, in your situation, if something happens, something comes wrong, you have to, again, that goes back to making it a habit. Like you said, your dedication for the next 2 weeks, you're on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Monday on week three, your accountability is not just yourself, because again, you may wake up Monday morning, I'm not doing it, you know.
Right.
But again, develop those habits. And if you don't see anyone around you that has that habit, find someone.
Yeah.
You know, find someone that's accessible, even if it is online, but realistically accessible.
Right.
Is the thing. So it doesn't always have to start with mom and dad or my neighbor or my teacher. Sometimes it is you.
Mm-hmm.
It is just you saying,
right.
And I'm starting this right now.
See, so for those of y'all who don't know, so she's part of the PRF family now. You know, it's kind of like when you go to somebody's house and they're like, first time I fix your plate, next time
you're on your own.
Like, I'll get you some water this time. Next time, you know where the glass is at. So,
right.
So anybody who comes on the PRF table or any of our shows, I say two times, they are now part of the PRF family or your health is your wealth family. So you have an open invitation to be a part of this show and anything else that we have going on. So thank you for pushing us. And thank you for being our guest. And we just encourage everybody to listen to Kimberly's show. This is not Dr. Dunlap's show. I'm just standing in for her today. But this is Kimberly's show. Your health is your wealth. She airs every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can always reach us at prfministry.org. So listen, enjoy the rest of your day, and God bless. Have a good day.